So,
what's Aiden doing over there?
I don't know.
What are you doing over there?
I'm on the internet, just looking up a couple things.
You're a horrible actor.
Seriously? That was so bad.
I was thinking the same thing.
Welcome to Pod Thingy, where the geeks meet over drinks to discuss the latest in pop culture. Join the rock star, the author, the outlaw, and the nerd girl for Pod Thingy.
Yay! Welcome, everyone, to Pod Thingy episode 5. And we were doing a bit for our, we tried to do a bit. This is the first time we tried to do a bit for our cold open, and it backfired horribly. Because Hayden, not the best actor in the world, we've discovered.
Never do a bit with Hayden again. That's leave me out of the room.
The lesson of the day. Yeah. We were going to say, hey, Hayden, what are you doing? Because this is actually, it actually happened. We're like, oh, we should recreate that for our cold open because he's on the internet doing cramming before the test, doing research for the podcast, and he couldn't recreate that. So we kind of failed. But welcome to Pod Thingy.
Lesson learned.
This is our 5th episode, and I think we have a lot to talk about today. If you haven't joined us before, we sit around, we have a cocktail, and we talk about geek stuff. And today's cocktail is the Pickleback, which, if you've never had a Pickleback, is literally exactly what it sounds. It's a shot of whiskey with a pickle back. And so you drink the shot of whiskey, you drink the shot of pickle juice, and the pickle juice kind of neutralizes the whiskey. And makes it, actually, it's just, you know what? Let's not talk about it anymore. Let's do our first shot, and then we'll get into some things.
All right, agreed. I couldn't be more into that. Yeah.
Blaine has been wanting to do the shot for about the last
and I've never
half
had a,
hour.
I've never had a pickleback before.
Okay,
me either. My first.
All right, so
my first too.
All right, here we go. Salute. And here we go.
Oh, that's weird.
So weird.
That's weird.
I like it a lot.
That's good. That's
actually,
weird.
It's good about 10 seconds after.
It's,
wow.
It's odd how it happens. It's not exactly what you expect, and you don't have a pickle juice aftertaste, which is what you think you're going to have.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what that aftertaste was then.
Yeah. So good. Are you thumbing up or thumbing down on the pickle?
I'm good. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's not something you go. Tracy's thumbing down.
She doesn't like change.
She's stuck for picklebacks all
show. Yes. So I have an entire glass of pickle juice.
That you've been saving.
You've been eating all those pickles for nothing.
I hate so many pickles.
We'll put a picture up on the Facebook page of all the pickle juice that we've all been gathering for today's show.
Yes.
Anyhow, Pod Thingy episode 5. I am here. My name is John Mulhall. I am the author of a couple novels, Getty's Moon, which is out now, and Dark and Broken Thing, which is coming out very soon, and you can find me on the web at johnmulhall.com. And we also have
Blaine. I'm the vocalist for Idiot Stare, Insight 23, Good Time with a Bad Girl, Group Psychosis, and other bands that you should have bought albums from and didn't.
Damn you.
Oh, next person, right? With that bit, I don't want to talk anymore after that bit. I'm like,
Jesus. Hayden's shell shocked.
I'm gun shy now. A few more picklebacks, I'll be all right.
I don't know. I saw your guns. They look pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Bam.
Bam. I'm Hayden, by the way, and Geek Outlaw, geekoutlaw.com. I blog about all things pop culture and funny and humorous, and started my own little podcast, Wild Wild Podcast. So
nice.
I like to cross promote, and I mention you guys in it. So hopefully, I know you guys don't listen yet, but
we're going to cut this right out. So
okay, yeah. It's gone. Yeah,
Hayden just keeps staring right at me, and it's so weird. Okay, anyway, sorry.
You look nice today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. My name is Tracy, also known as Hot Nerd Girl, and I can be found at hotnerdgirl.com or Facebook/hotnerdgirl or on Pinterest. Which I now have 11,000 followers on Pinterest.
Congratulations.
Damn.
Wow.
Very
exciting.
That's not bad for a social platform that sucks.
My random pinning at lunch just trying to find shit to post on the page, and I also have 11,000 followers. Who'd have thunk?
That's, dang. Who knew? Yeah. Who knew?
How can I make that work for me?
I don't know. I don't really get the Pinterest. To be honest, I have. This is one area where I feel kind of old. Is I'm not on the Instagram, as my grandfather would say.
Me either.
Yeah,
I'm Instagramless.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I know I need to get over there. I just there's so many to have to balance. But you can reach any of us at any time at geeks@podthingy.com if you have questions or comments about the podcast. If you just want to tell us we suck, we love to hear from you. So
or suggest a new drink.
Yeah. Or anything, we'll take, or a topic of conversation. Yeah. You can reach us there. So I want to dive right in because we got a ton of stuff to talk about today. We just literally got done, all four of us, seeing X-Men Days of Future Past in the movie theater. And we have not discussed it about amongst ourselves yet. So we're going to talk about that. We want to talk about Godzilla from last week. We're going to talk about Spider-Man 3, which we haven't talked about yet. Damn it.
We corrected you before. I know.
For me, that movie is just Spider-Man 3 now. And I have I don't know. Anyhow. And if we have time permitting, we want to talk about Almost Human being canceled and kind of what that means and in the vein of Firefly, all good sci-fi seems to go too soon. But before we get to that, we want some breaking news. We have breaking news, more or less, that Edgar Wright is off Ant-Man. What do you guys think?
Yeah,
it's very sad.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think? There's a lot of stuff going back and forth in the news already. It's only been a day or so since the announcement, and already there seems to be camps forming. So what do you guys think?
I know when I first heard this, I immediately was bummed being a big Edgar Wright fan. And of course, your mind immediately goes to, what did they do to fuck him over?
Yeah.
You know? And I don't want to think about Marvel fucking over anybody. So immediately I was like, okay, now I'm pissed.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and kind of the first thing that comes to mind for me is that a lot of times when you see these changes late in development, is that there's something wrong with the movie.
Yeah.
Or there's something. Someone didn't like something, and it was going in the wrong direction, whether it was or not. But it already builds this kind of reputation.
Totally true. The new Star Wars,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whenever you hear like major reshoots, anything like that,
you
naturally go to this is something wrong here, and then you know they're having to cover their ass.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you an anecdotal to that though is the World War Z.
Yeah,
I think that went through a lot of issues. And I don't think that was such a bad movie, after all was said.
We'll have to put that on the
docket. All right, maybe another docket. Well, I'm just saying, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be for all
that'll be part of the Prometheus episode.
Yeah.
Oh, it's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming. I don't know if you guys heard this yet. I mean, it literally just posted this morning on, Saturday morning, that's Guardians of the Galaxy director James Gunn put on his Facebook a comment about the Edgar Wright thing. He basically, to paraphrase, said, hey, you know, sometimes people just shouldn't be in a relationship with each other, and it doesn't make anyone bad. It's just that they don't belong together, and they can't make a relationship work, and so they get a divorce, and that's what's happening here. So,
which could be a PC sort of, look, don't you talk shit about me, I won't talk shit about you scenario,
I mean, it's interesting that he felt the need to weigh in, and maybe that, you know, he's, you know, in the Marvel camp right now because he's got a movie coming out. But it is interesting that he felt, you know, he could have just remained silent and kind of let this happen on its own. But it is, you know, when he says it that way, you know, I was mentioning to Blaine earlier, it kind of is. I've always been fascinated to see what an Edgar Wright movie would look like in the Marvel universe. And I'm wondering if they just went, hey, an Edgar Wright movie won't work in the Marvel universe.
Right. Not going to be the right tone.
Because when we were talking earlier, when you really wrap your head around that, all of a sudden you start realizing that no, that doesn't really work.
Yeah.
Like I imagine a conversation took place between them all where they were like, "Hey, Edgar, so can't wait to see what you do with this. It's going to be awesome. But you're not going to do all those weird quirky things you do all the time, right?" He was like, "No, I'm going to do that." And they're like, "Okay, you're fired."
But Ant-Man's the perfect vehicle for him to kind of experiment with that. But he devoted like 10 years of his, almost 10 years of his life to this.
Yeah. Right, but Marvel's not going to allow that. How did you put it? It's not a platform for auteurs?
Yeah, it's not a place for experimentation. I mean, they really, each new movie that comes out needs to deliver to keep that audience and that brand intact, right? So, you know.
Keep it going.
If we're pouring more drinks. It's time to do that. Time for another drink.
I'm going to try it one more time. I think that was too big of a shot. And I just, I couldn't get the pickle juice going fast enough.
Kind of what I did,
enough,
too.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to have a ton of the pickle juice, either. Don't feel like you need a full pickle juice.
I didn't.
Juice.
I'm just going to take a smaller gulp of the...
Yeah, it feels like, you know, they've got a lot riding on this universe. They've got a lot of riding on each movie that comes out. And if what might have seemed like a really good idea in 2006 when they started to develop this, when rubber met road... It just
things
wasn't
change
quite the same thing. It's like, wow, this doesn't feel right anymore.
Dude,
you know,
here's another angle on it. Ant-Man, I would say, out of all the characters so far that have been portrayed on the screen in the Marvel universe, have been pretty as far as knowledge base goes, most people know about them. You're Captain America, Thor. These are your bigger characters. Ant-Man is not, on a standalone film, your biggest Marvel character. Do you think this is to create, maybe this will create some PR, not purposely, but maybe getting
some... That's interesting.
I don't think it hurts them bringing attention to the movie. I don't think anything hurts, but I don't think they would have done it specifically for that purpose. It seems like a big wrench in everyone's plans.
Yeah.
You know, they've already got the movie cast. I'm assuming that the actors don't have a clause to walk away. And, you know.
It's just so weird, too, though, that, like, and I'm granted, we haven't seen the movie yet, but Guardians of the Galaxy, at least the trailer doesn't really have a Marvel feel in the same way that, Thor and Iron Man. And you know what I mean? It looks like that's the furthest bound of experimentation they would be allowed to get.
Yeah, and it's opening up a new part of the Marvel Universe, and Ant-Man seems a little bit...
close to the vest.
Yeah, it kind of skews more to what we've seen already. True. So, I don't know, it'll be interesting to see how this all irons out, and it will also be interesting to see who steps up. I'm assuming they wouldn't have made this announcement if they didn't already have an idea of who they're putting in his shoes, in his place.
Hmm.
You were mentioning Joe Cornish, but do you think that's even a possibility?
They just said it was rumored that that was a possibility, that he could just step in since he's been part of the project since the beginning.
Well, we have more superhero news, but is it time for another shot real quick to get, cause since we're just getting rolling?
Starting from scratch.
Yeah. All right, we're starting from scratch.
I liked your 3-2-1. What happened to that?
3-2-1.
I liked your skull, too.
Tracy hasn't warmed up.
Everybody's just pissing me off.
You should see Tracy's face right now. She's not a fan of the picklebacks.
So you're doing whiskey and Red Bull.
I'm trying so hard. I'm just not a fan.
Maybe you just need to go straight to
whiskey. I love that you guys think I can keep up with you in the alcohol department. Well, that's pretty
you
awesome.
Have been. Yeah, good job.
More or less.
Just one of the guys. Oh, yeah.
So in other superhero news... this week saw the announcement of a new, saw a lot of things for the new Superman movie, including a title.
Sad.
All right. Let's just.
It's very sad.
All right. So Man of Steel has a sequel coming out in 2015.
Say it ain't so.
Yeah. And it got an announcement this week for a title. The title is Batman v. Superman. Dawn of Justice.
Dum dum dum.
Not versus V.
It's like they're plaintiffs. It's a court case.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
And I have officially banned my own Batman shirts and underwear.
Wow.
Underwear too?
I have several.
Yeah. All right.
Burned them or banned them?
Banned them. Hey.
I have lots of Batman underwear and Superman.
Yeah.
Oh.
And yeah.
Okay.
I have no response to that.
Yeah. Before we. Go off topic.
I was trying. I got nothing.
So, does anyone like this title?
Nope.
Not even a little bit. I'm playing devil's advocate because I hate it. So
I hate it, and I'm especially. I want to hear what you have to say about it, Tracy, because you're actually a little more open to this movie than we are.
Am I?
Weren't you?
I don't know.
Weren't you like I reserve judgment until
I do tend to reserve judgment until I've actually seen it. We did have this discussion where it was like, okay, Ben Affleck was Daredevil, and should he have been given another chance? And I reserve judgment until I see him in action. I don't like the symbol.
Batman symbol, is that what you're talking about?
I don't like how it's like broader.
It is Dark Knight.
It's fatty.
Dark Knight Returns. Frank Miller. Sharky. It is Frank Miller's logo.
It's the whole costume, really.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a little different than Frank Miller's. Like Frank Miller's almost looks like a comb. You know what I mean? This one is more. Yeah. Because they had to manipulate it to fit the Superman.
And I hate the fact that they keep pointing back to Frank Miller's Batman. It pisses me off because Frank Miller's Batman is something we've always wanted to see. And I mean, after the Nolan Batman, it wasn't really going to be possible, but. They just know that we want to see that so bad that they're just. I think they're trying to reel us in by by pointing
Kevin
to Frank
Smith
Miller.
Certainly is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know,
he's defending his friend.
Fuck
too, though.
Him. You know, I'm so sick of him. God.
Why? Tell me. I feel like it's the same reason that I am. But go for it.
He's such a cheerleader for crap. You know, it's getting to the point where he's like Harry Knowles. Mm. Like, I don't trust him with anything.
Yeah.
He liked Phantom Menace, for fuck's sake.
Well, he definitely got on board for the third one, Revenge of the Sith. And, you know, he wrote a big piece for mm-hmm. For you know, in support of that. And you know, this is the one he delivered, and it's like, come on.
Yeah, I just, you know, the cheerleading.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Kevin Smith, honestly.
Me too. I used to be.
Yeah, but I agree with you. It's like I understand, you know, Ben's in it and he's your friend, but I don't know. But you know, I know that a lot of people are excited about this movie. I know that a lot of people are excited about the title, and I know they're excited about the bat suit. And
that's the craziest thing is in that article, the comments.
Yeah,
the comments. I couldn't believe how many people are excited and saying like awesome positive things about it. And I mean, I've got friends and relatives that are doing the same thing, and I just want to disown all of them.
Can I ask a question? Who do you guys think would win, Batman or Superman?
It depends on the circumstances of the fight. I mean, we've seen in the comic books that Batman has beaten Superman
mm-hmm.
in context.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
But you know, if Batman didn't have access to some of his toys and, say, kryptonite, mm-hmm. Who would win? I don't know. Probably Superman.
Batman have a contingency plan for each of the Justice League members?
What's Wonder Woman?
Figures that Hayden would go to Wonder Woman.
I'm wearing my Wonder Woman socks right now, actually.
and her Batman underwear.
Yes.
Oh, actually, the Superman, but that's okay.
Whatever. Let's pass that.
And her Aquaman bra.
While we're talking... It's also known as a bathing suit.
Oh, yes.
Hey, nice shells.
Puka?
Isn't it neat? Sorry.
Can we pass while we're talking, can we pass the bourbon around again? Because I feel like I need some more bourbon.
That's fine. All right. That's fair enough.
I am the bourbon master.
You know, I did make a comment, I think, to you guys on social media that I don't mind them going in a different direction with Batman, but it almost looks like they went back to the old... Adam West, like it's like a juiced up Adam West in that costume with like the blue, the blue gray.
And that's how Frank Miller.
Yeah, I don't know. It was
closest to the Frank Miller.
It's closest to it. It was halfway laughable.
Okay, so we're not a huge fan of the costume. How about the Batmobile?
Batmobile, I like. Okay, I'm a big fan of the first Tim Burton.
Yeah,
Batmobile.
Looks like Burton's Batmobile.
The cockpit does. I don't think we've seen a lot of the rest. It looks like they've kind of combined a little bit of the.
The Schumacher and
the Schumacher 4x4 version.
Yeah.
With the Burton, the first Burton, which I'm okay with.
There does seem to be a little tumbler in there too.
Yeah,
you know.
I didn't see that until I saw a picture from the back.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it totally looks like, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. there's something like tankish about it,
yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, wherever you fall on Batman or the title or the Batmobile or the fact that Zack Snyder's still in this fucking movie or the fact that it's becoming more and more a prequel for the Justice League and less a sequel for Superman or Man of Steel, I should say.
Which is...
One amazing thing has come out of this... this whole process, and that is Sad Batman.
Sad Batman. Yes, yes. Easily one of the greatest.
Shall we pour one for our sad friend?
This is going out to
Sad Batman.
To Sad Batman.
3, 2, 1.
Slante.
Pickle juice down the wrong.
Oh,
it's so
don't you hate when the pickle goes down the wrong too?
That's what she's.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it!
Man. That's getting edited.
It was a knee jerk response.
Yeah. Man, we even have it up on the whiteboard.
It is behind us.
It's
so
behind
we can see it.
It is behind me. So
that's what
you know. What I it's funny is earlier I took a picture specifically of you and with that in the background. So that's going up on the web.
I can edit it out, or I can take a demerit, either one. But we're not allowed to say that anymore. That Blaine has decreed.
That's it.
So
next episode.
Sad Batman.
Sad Batman.
If you don't know what we're talking about, they've taken the first image of Ben Affleck in the Batman suit, and they've cut it out of the background, and they've put it in so many different situations, and some of them are just hysterical because he just seems so sad and lonely.
And do you think he was trying to be sad in that picture? Do you think Ben Affleck was going, like, Ben, give us a picture of Batman being sad. Yeah. And that's what we got? No, that was mad.
That was mad Batman. Yeah.
That was like, I'm pissed off, Batman.
I'm bad. You think he's going to do a voice? I think he's going to do a voice.
Of course he's going to do a voice.
Because otherwise, it's Ben Affleck's voice. And yeah. No one's scared.
He's
going
to try to do a voice.
Didn't he kind of do a voice for Daredevil? He kind of did, didn't he?
I don't know. I turned the volume down on that movie.
But my favorite sad Batman still is the Batman all alone in the log ride.
The log ride one, yeah.
Because he just seems so sad and lonely.
I do like the Batman looking at the empty swing.
Oh, I like that too.
I know. Yeah. I'm thinking on the up one.
No one to push me.
The up one.
Up one was very sad.
This one's good, yeah.
Yeah. There's some great ones.
The Neverending Story one, the first one.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I was going to
betray
you.
Yep. Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah. I actually had a dream about this the other night of him being Bruce Wayne in like a tux and having that weird little like curly half smile thing that he does the whole time, and it was really bothering me.
Oh, you poor thing! You dreamt this.
I did.
Wow. You actually had a dream.
See, this is how bad this movie is affecting us.
You know what else made it really sad was the black and white. I think because it came out in that black, it had a tone of sad. Like when it came out in color, I was like, I don't know. It's kind of nice. Well, someone photoshopped it.
It's not really been in color, but we're. Everyone's.
But there was that article that we all, I think you shared with us, John, where they said that's what the colors are going to be.
Gray and black.
Yeah, mm-hmm. black with the little yellow belt.
Yeah, apparently very much right out of Frank Miller again, which is, it's a cool choice. Honestly, aesthetically, it's a cool choice, but it's a weird choice too.
Do you think they'll keep the eyes white somehow?
I wish. That would be awesome.
I hope. Saving grace.
I doubt it because it's a superstar in the role, and they're paying him a lot of money,
right?
You know, because they're going to get the mask off as often as possible.
Yep.
That's the rule.
That's something I do not want to see at all.
Keep it on.
Yeah.
Permanently.
Well, they don't. They just assume that people want to see the celebrity versus seeing them.
That's why they hired him.
Right. Mm-hmm. Apparently. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get to some other stuff, and if we have time at the end of the show, we'll circle back around. But let's talk. Do we want to talk about X-Men first or Godzilla first?
Let's do Godzilla because we saw that first. No.
Did you say Coachella?
I did that on my last podcast.
That's a completely different show.
Coachella.
That's kind of how they pronounce it.
Run, dirty hipsters.
You just saved San Francisco. Where do you want to go?
Coachella. Where do you think he's heading? Oh, to the tent stage.
Is it big enough for him?
Oh, my God.
Okay, so let's talk about Godzilla. Came out a couple weeks ago and has been so far the biggest first weekend of the year. Yeah, and
I think so.
They've already announced not one but two sequels.
Oh wow, two!
Wow,
yeah,
that was coming.
Both overseen by Edwards. Is that his name? Edwards?
Yeah, Gareth Edwards.
Gareth Edwards.
Mm-hmm. And
Japan has voiced its support.
Nope, there you go.
Oh, good.
So they're not on the Godzilla needs to lose weight thing anyway.
Yeah, they had they actually said that was grossly overhyped.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, there you go.
I thought they were talking about Christy Alley. No.
Oh.
Wow. That's early 90s jokes for the win.
Wow.
For the lose.
So, what do you guys think? What did you think of the movie, and what did you think of the response to the movie?
I'm not a huge Godzilla geek, so for me, I kind of went into it just expecting a fun popcorn flick, and I had a few issues with it. I think that the guy mentioned natural balance a little too often, mm-hmm. the Japanese scientist guy, and I wish that Elizabeth Olsen had been in it a little more. I think kick-ass kind of phoned
Elizabeth
it in.
Olsen was in it?
Yes, she was.
Weird.
Yeah. I think that I kick-ass phoned it in a little bit. But overall, I had a lot of fun watching it. I had no idea what the flames were, and a friend of mine who is a Godzilla geek explained to me that it was almost like chi.
Hmm.
So as opposed to like electricity like or tai flames.
Chi? It depends on what Godzilla you're talking about, because it's been different things. But yeah.
I thought it was almost nuclear, because he was like a radioactive beast, no?
He's a radioactive lizard.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm not sure where he pulled it from this movie, but
yeah.
But it was still awesome.
Yeah, he pulled it late, but he pulled it.
And by the way, we should say, since this has been out for a couple of weeks, we're going to go into spoilers. Yeah. I don't think any of them are going to be huge spoilers because I don't know how much of that movie you can really spoil.
It's a Godzilla movie.
It's a Godzilla movie.
Yeah, for me, I've had several people ask me if they should go see it, and I'm like, lower your expectations, expect great special effects, and watch a few monsters destroy a city. Mm-hmm. And that's, to me the movie. But I don't feel, you know, the more I get away from it, the more I kind of feel like it wasn't great. Like it wasn't a great movie. It wasn't, you know, it was a good event, but it wasn't a good film. You know, and it wasn't, the motivations of the characters were really very lacking for me. And I, you know, the thing that I really started to think about is if you pull the humans out of this movie, how different would it really be?
It would be way better. More kick-ass.
What's
that? Better.
Right,
yeah.
It would be better. And but I mean, my point is that they didn't do anything. Yeah. Ultimately, yeah. If you look at their effect on the movie, they set up problems and they solve their own problems, but they had nothing to do with the outcome of the creatures.
Yeah.
Well, and that I really think that goes into towards what you and I have talked about before. My big complaint about the movie, which I don't have many. I actually really, really enjoyed it. I agree. It's not a great film. It kicks ass over the 98 Godzilla because that was a piece of crap. But I'm so tired of in hero movies or monster movies or whatever where they have to try to give you an explanation why everything is happening. Mm-hmm. And really all I wanted to see was I wanted to see, holy shit, couple monsters are fucking up Earth. Let's release the Godzilla. And that was it.
Yeah.
But they had to give us all the backstory. And I didn't mind the backstory so much, but the balance of nature was such a thin story in order to explain that they were going to fight.
Well, yeah. And it's also, you know, again, you know, the depending on which era the movie was released, but Godzilla was always kind of an answer to fears of what we were doing to the planet, mm-hmm. you know, the nuclear fear. And this was kind of like balance. It's just balance. He's just a lizard. Well, there was like no human accountability in this. And we had no, you know, role to play ultimately.
And it was even factual. He's like, I believe Godzilla is here to bring balance to nature.
Yeah.
And it's like,
well, you've been
fight.
Right. And it's like, what? And
thank goodness he was right.
I dislike it more than you. Like I would go see it again. I would, if someone said, I want to go see Godzilla, I'd be like, oh, sure, it's fun. Let's, you know, go grab some drinks and see Godzilla. But it's just, man, there's so many holes. I mean, not just in, not in
holes in a Godzilla movie.
Well, it's just,
who would have thought it?
I know, but you know, like raise the bar, right? I mean, you can do both. You can have both. Yeah. We've been shown that you can have both. I mean, there would have been a time where people were like, expecting a, you know, drama from a superhero movie, you silly, you know. And it's like, come on, guys.
Well, I liked it better in Pacific Rim.
I did too.
I agree with you, but you know, I also think they're very different movies.
Yeah.
I mean, you have Pacific Rim starting in a place where, you know, you've told the story of these things coming from the deep. I mean, it's in the prologue, and then you get right into the you know, how we're going, you know, we've already been kicking ass over them, and you know, it's a very different place to start a creature movie. Versus
sure.
Godzilla, where it's like they're emerging. This is the emergence of something.
Well, and that's kind of where I think they dropped the ball on the story too, because the entire opening is basically recounting the 1954 version,
right?
Where, you know, they blew him up or they nuked him,
yeah.
And in the movie he actually died, but you know, which was a mistake. I really thought at that point it was like they were going to be like, yeah, he didn't die. We've had him in this cavern,
which would have been a great
which
idea.
Would have been great
if they really if they had been in control of letting Godzilla back out,
because that's what the old movies were about.
Right.
That
would have been an interesting angle.
Agreed.
And, to me, it feels very much like, hey, we want an excuse, and we're gonna have some very very thin material to get us there. And the other thing that really bothers me is that They kind of put into their marketing materials a lot of emphasis on Bryan Cranston.
Cranston, that was another thing. I mean,
and like
spoiler alert,
yeah, spoiler alert.
10
on this.
Minutes, he's
yeah,
gone.
I mean, maybe 20,
yeah,
20,
maybe
25 mm-hmm. minutes. He's in the movie, and like that is the best part of the movie for
he
me.
He was the best actor in it.
It was like he yeah. really brought some gravity to it,
mm-hmm.
and my, you know, I'm
he
looking back on
it,
and there was really absolutely no reason
they had to.
Well, that they had to jump forward 15 years. Right, like there, that was a weird thing for me. Like, why couldn't Bryan Cranston have played the role of the hero throughout the movie?
Yeah,
you know, and why did he need to? Why did we need to have his son grow up? And why did his son need to have this family that he ostensibly was trying to get back to, but never really made that much of an effort to do?
No, and all the complaints I've been hearing online, it basically has to do with him just sort of going, "All right, fuck you, family."
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's really weird because at first he's you know, and there's really weird side tangents on this. Like that whole thing when they get stuck on the train and they pair him with this little Asian kid.
Yeah, I was wondering what the point of that was.
Right, and that could have been he could have been having to protect that Asian, but no, they like let him off the hook right away. He gets off the train. There's his parent. They're the Asian kid's parents, miraculously. Yeah. And it's like, oh, in a sea of chaos, there they are. And you know, it's like, why did you even do that?
Well, they're force feeding the audience to tell them this character is going to go back to because Bryan Cranston's message at the beginning was anything for family,
right?
It's all for family.
But then he doesn't do anything for family.
Right. I know, but
then he does with the little Asian kid.
But he was already going for his wife and his kid. He was already trying to get back into the city, so I felt like it was unneeded.
It was completely unneeded.
So, but I'm with you, John. I didn't think it was a great movie. I thought. My recommendation on my blog and my podcast was go buy a ticket in the theater while it's still in the theaters on the big screen and walk in an hour and a half later and go see the end scene. Because that was probably the epic part of the movie.
Yeah, over me. That fight was awesome.
There are several scenes in that movie that are worth the price of admission. Mm-hmm. It's from a effect standpoint, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And there are several shots in that movie where I was just giddy. You know, the shot of the Godzilla going under the first time you really see him, and the fins come up, and he goes under the boat,
the destroyer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just I was like, oh, this is so good.
Yeah.
But it's just why can't you have that and protagonists that actually have. Motivation and you talk about you. Did you say he's phoned it in?
The entire cast.
He was sleepwalking through that movie. There was like,
and I really like him.
I do too. And it made me wince a little bit to think of him in Avengers because I was like, God, he's got to bring something better, more to the table than this.
Yeah, agreed.
Was anybody else hoping the little Asian kid would turn out to be kind of like Short Round?
Yeah, a little bit.
I also like, I mean, you guys seem to, at least Tracy and you, Blaine, were kind of, you didn't like the balance of nature aspect. I kind of liked it a little bit because in a lot of these disaster movies and a lot of these films you see, it seems like the message is always humans. It's humans we're always, you know, devastating the environment. It's our issue. We're causing the problems. And really, I kind of like the fact that this is nature going at it.
Yeah. See, I didn't like that. I feel like the humans needed to have some sort of a role in there. Just again, you know, they did a really
I don't mind a supporting role.
Well, no, I'm saying that they did a nice job of paying homage to the original film.
They did. Yeah.
I mean, it's like you said, it was
character design and atmosphere. Yeah,
Blaine
and
was saying, you know, it's almost a sequel to the original Godzilla, and that's kind of cool, right? But you should also pay homage to the fact that those grew out of fears and of the that were timely fears that were cultural fears. You know,
there was one time when the humans did have an effect on the story, and that was when Kick-Ass blew up the eggs, and then he shared a bonding moment with Godzilla.
Yeah, but yeah, all right,
they almost kissed.
They were gonna kiss.
I love the fact that after Godzilla like kicks the shit out of everybody, then passes out. He's just like, fuck you guys. And he goes to sleep.
Take a little nap.
And he like lays down and everyone's like, is he dead? And we're like, he's not dead because they wouldn't make that mistake again. And then he gets up. I love how he's like, he's not like, I'm Godzilla, haha, and walks up. He's like, fuck you people. He's like limping off into the ocean. It's like, handle this on your own.
I do think it's a good setup for sequels. I don't think that I think the next movies will be better because I think they're going to be more focused on the monsters.
And at least, and especially in the theater where we were, I love the fact that you forget how much people love Godzilla, actually. It was great because, like, the first time that you saw him and he, you know, does his Godzilla scream, the place went nuts, you know?
It was fun to root for him.
Yeah, it was. It was really cool. And it was nice to have that back.
Yeah.
What do you think about the fact that they didn't have one of the established bad monsters? They kind of created a new monster.
Like Rodan or Mothra.
A mini Mothra.
Yeah. I think maybe they're saving them for the sequels.
Well, and plus they're talking about Destroy All Monsters being one of the sequels, and that's going to take us to Monster Island.
Which would be really, really interesting. Yes. I mean, that would be...
Did you guys like the critter? The bad critter?
The Mudo?
Mudo?
Mudo.
It was okay. It reminded me a little bit of like Cloverfield.
Meets Starship Troopers.
Aliens.
Yeah, meets Predator. Meets every other. There was nothing really original or unique about it.
It was fine. I liked the fact that one had, you know, the one had wings and one didn't. You know, like that.
So, you know, we've got Godzilla last week. They're expecting, you know, I think that made something in the 96 million for the opening weekend. I may be misquoting that because, you know, whatever. I wasn't on my computer doing research right before the podcast. But Hey, Hayden, I've got some acting to do.
I just looked something up.
Hey, guys, what's going on over there? Everyone has their strong suits.
And I don't have any.
But now we've got X-Men, Days of Future Past, and based on the preview screenings and Friday, they're expecting it to break 100. And now we've all seen it. We haven't talked about it. Do you think that's a good thing? Do you think that
haven't talked about it yet?
You think that it breaking 100 million this weekend?
It needs to break all records.
It deserves it.
Yes, it does.
It was great. It was an excellent film.
Fucking awesome.
We're going to try to keep this spoiler free since it just came out. We won't get into deep details, but I think most people understand the basic premise is that there's the future X-Men and there's the past X-Men, and they have to kind of cross over to change a dystopian future that's developed because of circumstances. So that's kind of the plot of the movie.
It's Back to the Future.
Yeah, basically. And we end up in
with mutants
spending a lot of time in the 70s now.
I thought this was by far. I mean, out of all the movies I've seen, there's a lot of humor in it. This may have been one of the superhero movies I've laughed at quite a bit in the Marvel universe. So I like the amount of humor, especially with the 70s. You can drive a lot of humor from that. It was an excellent. I love the scenes with. I'm a big fan of Bing Bing Fan, who played Blink. Mm-hmm. I think those were awesome. The way where she was throwing her kind of wormhole.
Her name is Bing Bing.
Bing Bing.
It's her real name.
Bing Bing
the
Fan.
The guy who plays Warpath, his name is Boo Boo.
Yeah.
Bing Bing and Boo Boo.
Bing Bing Boo Boo.
A Boo Boo Bin? Bring me over that picnic basket.
So
yeah,
we actually have a superhero movie where the superhero code names are less cheesy than the real name.
Right.
No, awesome. I thought those scenes were kind of phenomenal. They were awesome. What they could do with those scenes.
I loved the fact that they let you figure that out.
Yes. Yeah,
they didn't force
it down your
first
throat.
Let's explain to you why they're doing.
My name is Blink.
Yeah. I thought that was an excellent. You bring up an amazing point. I thought that was an excellent example of just show me. Just mm-hmm. because they were movies. And, mm-hmm. you know, so many of the, especially superhero movies, spend so much time setting up the premise of yep. what you're going to see. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, in the case of, Man of Steel, they set it up again, what you're going to see. And then, you know, you just show me, because that opening sequence with all of the futuristic X-Men working together was
so good.
So
great.
Good.
Yeah. Great way to open it.
And
too. It
was, yeah. And you were like, oh, that's. Okay, that's what's happening with that person, mm-hmm. and I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
You know, just keep it. If I had one nitpick, and it's not really even a nitpick, but what a great opportunity to actually have Storm with a mohawk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She didn't have a mohawk. would have been a good opportunity.
She had the mohawk in the comic books.
Yeah. Right.
I'm saying it was a great opportunity.
It would have been, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
But
yeah.
She didn't have a mohawk, but it would have been a great opportunity.
I have to admit, too, that quite honestly, it was like 15 minutes into it, and I went, oh, yeah, Bryan Singer. Like, it was, like, the way things were just coming together, I was like, oh, God, because he's good.
Yeah.
He's fucking good.
Yeah.
You know, and he brings back this feel to it.
With the X-Men movies.
Yeah.
Yes. He's good.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Oh, and how'd you like the intro?
I think
you leaned
that.
Over the little, the company. The
yeah,
bad,
the Bad Harry. Or
bad Hair,
bad
whatever.
Bad Hat
like,
Harry.
Bad Hat Harry. I'd never seen that before.
Usual Suspects.
Does anyone know what Bad Hat Harry is from? Anyone? This is a trivia question.
It wouldn't be Usual Suspects?
Nope.
Okay.
Bad Hat Harry is the name of his production company. They use the iconic image of the lineup from Usual Suspects, mm-hmm. but Bad Hat Harry is from a different movie that he did not direct and was a fan of.
Oh.
And I will give you a shot of whiskey.
Let me grab my iPhone.
I'll tell you. It's from Jaws. Jaws is there's a scene where the old man is with the hanging man boobs is talking to Roy Scheider on the beach.
Yeah.
And he says, that's one Bad Hat Harry.
Oh,
I knew that sounds familiar.
Oh, that's one Bad Hat Harry.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
That's one Bad Hat Harry.
I remember
Harry.
That. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, that's cool.
It's been
way
too long since I've seen that movie. That deserves a rewatch.
I just watched it recently, and it holds up all the way.
I watch it pretty.
Yeah.
Pretty
I watch
frequently.
It two or three times a year.
So, here's something that you were all blaming me on my awesome acting. I mean, you know, my acting skills. I was researching because me and Tracy noticed this was the absence of
Stan Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought about that.
Yeah.
I thought maybe
has
an
he
Easter
been in,
egg, but nothing.
Has Stan Lee been in all the other X-Men movies, though?
The one he
He's in
was,
the first one.
The one he wasn't in was the Wolverine.
Okay.
The original Wolverine.
Was he in the third one?
Yes. They said he's been in all the other ones.
Interesting.
And he was at a he was at a comic book expo, and he said his reasoning was is he didn't want to disappoint fans. That's what was listed. So
that's pretty cool.
That's a feel good story. All but right. That's why he didn't. He wasn't in the Wolverine one because it was in Australia and he couldn't fly that far.
I was expecting him to be just in like the audience at the White House or something like that.
Like more like of a casual, yeah. Not a one liner type of a.
Yeah.
I always forget about it until it happens.
Yeah, me too.
Which I always like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. And I forgot about it and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where, I want to ask a question of everyone. Where does this rank on the X-Men scale of movies for you guys? I mean, for me personally, number two is probably the second X-Men was one of my favorite X-Men.
Second X-Men's my favorite.
Yeah. This is up there with it, I think, for me.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I had read, I hadn't read reviews leading up to this, but I had read a couple of just quick one-liners about this is going to redefine the superhero movie in the same way that the original X-Men redefined the superhero movie. I didn't get that. I felt like it was a really solid superhero movie, a lot of fun, great action, but I don't think it redefined anything. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't walk away going like, oh, mind blown as to the the possibilities that are out there. Mm-hmm. But hard to poke holes in this. It was a really solid film. So and good acting all the way around, good plot. Loved pretty much everything about it.
Some surprises. I don't want to be a spoiler
because we're not. That.
But they do bring some people back. Yeah. We can say that.
Oh, geez. Yeah. There's some. I got all weepy.
Did you?
I totally did. A little bit.
That would be the one critique I had. Maybe it's a critique of myself. Maybe I'm just hard-hearted. But there were a couple times that I really wanted to. I felt like I should be more moved right this moment. And I wasn't. But I really liked the film overall. So.
Did you like the new Sentinels?
Which do you are you
which
calling the
new
ones?
Well, the ones.
The 70s or the.
No, the future ones.
I like them.
The RoboCop ones?
They were badass.
They kind of reminded me of the Destroyer.
A little bit. They had that look.
They reminded me of the comic book Sentinels, honestly, because they got they got sleek as they as the technology progressed. So I mean, that was
I can't remember in the comics did they oh, is that giving it away?
I think it would be a spoiler.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But, I just can't remember if that particular part was in the comic books.
I don't remember either, honestly.
I have 2 points.
Yeah.
One is, damn it, I really want Scarlett Johansson and now Jennifer Lawrence to kick the shit out of me.
Oh. Get in
me
line.
Me too.
Take a number.
Jeez. She can beat the shit out of me anytime she wants. Yeah. And then two, I think the world really needs to make a promise to themselves, and that is, if someone comes up to you and says, I'm from the future, I'm here to help, just fucking believe them.
I'm going to do that tomorrow.
I think that's what we should do. We should just go up to someone and see if they'll believe us.
Yeah.
I'm from the future. You sent me here.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to get a little information on them. But, yeah. But I mean, I mean, as long as there's reasonable, somebody looks like they're not crazy, and a bad hat Harry.
Yeah.
Then.
And they can name some incidents like,
Is that a term now? Bad hat Harry?
It will be.
Yeah.
Do you guys watch New Girl by any chance?
Yes.
There was the one where there was like the future Nick.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah, that was good.
That was good stuff. Is it time for some more alcohol?
Sure.
Alcohol?
It could be.
Sure.
Okay. All right. And are we picklebacking?
I am.
All right. 3, 2, 1, and.
Skull.
Tastes like the swamp thing.
Swamp thingy.
All right, we're back. So, I mean, any negatives? Any ugly about the Days of Future Past?
I really can't think of any.
I
thought it had, I mean, even a little bit unlike yourself, I had a few tear-jerking moments.
Yeah. I wanted them. Maybe I just,
I thought the acting was adequate, especially young Professor X, who is the
James McAvoy.
James McAvoy.
He's on my cheek.
I think, oh.
So good.
And what's the guy from American Horror Story who played the...
Oh, Evan Peters.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he stole it. He stole that movie. Even though he looks like the lead singer from My Chemical Romance.
And how much does Hugh Jackman work out at age like
40-something?
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Veins.
Dude, he's gotten...
Yeah.
Again, like Chris Evans, he makes you sort of gay.
Yeah.
Sort of.
You know?
Or Chris Hemsworth.
I was like watching that going, God damn.
I read a...
Your guns do not compare him.
No, they don't.
I read a thing with Hugh Jackman the other, because you know that Hugh Jackman got cast like 2 weeks before they started production on the first X-Men.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was supposed to be Dougray Scott. Is that how you say his name? Dougray?
Yeah.
Dougray?
I don't know.
Who is also very handsome.
The who?
And now you can't picture
anyone else.
No, no, I know.
The hair, the beard.
But yeah. He was talking in this interview the other day about that he, you know, 2 weeks to work out and become Wolverine is not enough time. So they shot some stuff early on with him without a shirt on. And Bryan Singer's like, yeah, we're going to have to shoot you from like, you know, the shoulder up because you're a little flabby down below. So they literally pushed the schedule and had then waited on certain scenes until the end of the shoot so that he could actually get into shape while they were filming.
Jeez. The naked running through the tunnel.
Maybe. I don't, was that number one?
Wait, why do I remember that? I don't know.
What? What naked scene?
The absolute look of glee on your face.
I know. She's priceless. Like running through the tunnel.
Can we watch that right now?
Yeah. Yeah, but I thought that was, you know, it's, you don't think about that stuff because you just think he's progressively more and more ripped.
Yeah. I think he was more ripped since the last Wolverine film.
And plus you got the gratuitous butt shot.
Oh, the butt shot. Yeah.
I will not complain about that.
I was
that.
Hoping he wasn't going to turn around. That was all.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, so that was it was a good movie. I mean, it was a really solid movie. I was very pleased with
it. Seeing it.
And it wasn't slow. I never looked at my watch once.
No, totally engrossing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was and Fassbender is always fantastic. Jennifer Lawrence is always great.
Always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plus, you know, anytime you put her in 70s fashion where she's got like a cut-off shorts and midriffs mm-hmm.
or a tight blue rubber suit or paint or whatever that stuff
I don't know what they do.
She's way more flexible than she looks.
I love the fact that she did a really good job of playing a young Mystique.
Yeah.
You know
yeah,
what I mean?
She
and
does.
And the way they did the camera, it was straight out
she's
of the first
She's just a natural.
One. Yeah. I love her.
Yeah. She's lovable.
Wow.
So things that we're a fan of at Pod Thingy, Marvel and Jennifer Lawrence and Scarlett Johansson.
You know what Emma Stone.
John, do you know what we don't talk about enough on the show?
What?
Is Marvel.
We should talk about Marvel more.
Marvel a little bit more.
Well, you know, they're really the underdog.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
You like to root for
them. They're the David.
Speaking of sort of Marvel and segueing away from sort of Marvel... is Spider-Man 2.
The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, isn't there like just one person in this room who can talk about it?
Really, it's just Hayden. I haven't seen it. I have no desire to see it.
I'm not going to.
I've seen it.
Okay, so two people. Yeah. So,
oh, good. I can go to the bathroom.
You might as well. It'll probably be better.
Hayden and Tracy, I don't know how deeply you guys want to go into this, but what do you think about... I know that the movie has had some lackluster response, but what do you think about the movie and what do you think about the future of the Spider-Man franchise?
Ladies first.
I'll go first because I know that Hayden is going to rip it a new one. And I am much more forgiving of movies. I tend to naturally just like movies. I still enjoy the Tobey Maguire movies much better. I like them much more than Hayden does, though. I like Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone's chemistry. And this one in particular, they have really good chemistry. There's a lot of foreshadowing in the beginning about what's going to happen. So even if you don't read the comics, you're kind of like, oh, that's what's going to happen. But I actually got a little emotional. I wasn't a huge fan of the villains. Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge fan of the new Harry Osborn. But overall, I thought that it was, again, kind of like Godzilla. It was an enjoyable movie to watch. I think that the way that they handled Gwen Stacy was pretty good, but I don't like how they handled Harry Osborn. It's kind of obvious who the next villain's going to be. I don't know. I laughed a lot during it, actually.
As Tracy said, I'm probably going to rip it quite a big new one. Some of the things I really liked about it, I liked his new suit.
Okay. Yeah.
That was probably...
You mean the suit that looks like the old movies?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Well, it's similar.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's more Spider-Man. He looked like a basketball.
I know
the first
you think
one.
He's kind of like a hipster, but I find him very charming.
Well, Peter Parker wasn't a hipster in the movie, in the comic books. Sorry.
I don't consider him a hipster, though. I know you kind of consider him that way. I think that he's kind of charmingly dorky.
He's not scientific like he should be. He's not the smarty
That's
pants
true.
Like he is in the second movie. The thing I didn't like, and kind of John hit on this with kind of how characters are fleshed out and how they're introduced. And it's like, you don't have to tell us, just show us. And was with the villains, which I did not like either, where, you know, Electro goes, I am Electro. I am Rhino. Every villain announces themselves in the Spider-Man film. And it's like, really? You don't have to tell us
well,
who
Green
you
Goblin
are.
Doesn't.
He doesn't. But the other two do, and Green Goblin looked like they ran out of money budget for
he
makeup.
He looked like the original elves in the cartoon Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, and
that sounds great.
But on a hoverboard.
And the timeline for his character introduction is so short as the Goblin because it's introduced that they've met after 8 years. Is it has passed? It's the first time they've gotten together. All of a sudden, they're buddy buddy, and then they're sworn enemies. He finds out who he is in a matter of 15 minutes, and he's trying to kill him. So they tried to squish too much together, like a Spider-Man 3, which is one of the big issues with that film.
Yeah.
So I see where they're going with the Sinister Six, spoiler alert, at the end of Amazing Spider-Man 2, but I don't know. I didn't enjoy it.
It's not a spoiler alert. They've announced that Sinister Six is going to be out before Spider-Man or Amazing Spider-Man 3.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if people haven't seen the movie, I guess, it's a spoiler alert for them. But I don't like the Garfield, Peter Parker, and I think I read something that you sent to me, John, that this could be the third one could be the last for Webb, and then Garfield wouldn't come back either.
I hear that Garfield's actually signed up for 4 total.
Oh, he is up for 4.
But Webb will be done after the third one.
Will be done.
Yeah.
Well, is Garfield going to be in the Sinister Six at all?
I don't know. Uh-huh. I mean, I don't. How do you guys feel about that idea of taking, everybody wants their own Marvel Universe. They want to have all these movies that tie together, and I just have never seen Spider-Man as being a universe that requires multiple movies about multiple characters. You know, it's Spider-Man is Spider-Man, and he has a revolving cast that supports him. You know, so what do you think of this idea of not only focusing on supporting characters but focusing on villains for a movie of their own?
A character that I could see potentially getting his own film because he does eventually turn good in the comics is Venom.
Yeah,
Venom is a villain.
Well, they're planning
good.
A Venom film
so
as well.
They were going to do a Magneto Origins movie, but that fell through, right?
Well, sort of. It didn't so much as fall through as it morphed into First Class. Mm. If you think about it, that's kind of a Magneto Origins movie. So I think they took the kernel of the ideas there and they just kind of, developed something a little broader.
If I make a prediction, I can see it flopping. A Sinister Six
movie. even though Amazing Spider-Man 2 has made a decent amount of money, they're calling it an underperformer because it's made the least out of any Spider-Man movie so far.
Yay.
Which I'm not saying
going to these movies.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just if you quit going, they're just going to reboot it again. It's a lose lose.
Well, you like Spidey, John, right?
I do. I love
Spidey. What will bring you back to the movie verse? I want to know.
Time. And
just
that's
enough
one,
time.
Yeah,
that's
what
best
I think.
Answer.
There's if they would it needs years.
If they would have started this 5 years from now, I'd be more interested in it.
What about? Let me ask you this question: would you have been interested in it if they had kept the same universe that Raimi was developing and just recast characters?
You know how much I hate that, but yeah, I think I would have. I think I would have. I think I would have gone along with it.
I would have liked
that
better.
I think I would have too, because it's don't make me relearn everything. Don't make me, it's like,
and that's why I think they're stupid. Because I mean, they could have just said, okay, let's pretend like Spider-Man 3 didn't happen.
Yeah,
and go on to the next one and just drop us right in the middle of it. And I think that would have been fine.
So just ignore Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, in so much as it just didn't reference it.
Yeah. There's a case for that. I mean, I don't think it seems like more and more the X-Men are just ignoring Origins Wolverine.
Right.
And there are other movies that are doing this that, there's a precedent. What do you think about that? If fandom collectively groans at a certain entry into a franchise, what about the idea of it just ignoring it and going on and saying, all right, forget it didn't really happen. We're going to start pick up from here and go on.
If it's well done, I think it can be very effective. It can be a nod to the audience as well. Like, hey, we're listening. Check this out.
Yeah.
I think and I think there's been several examples of it working. Like Exorcist 3.
Yeah.
I Exorcist 3 is such an amazing psychological thriller to me, and it completely ignores Exorcist 2.
Yeah. I mean, even in recent superhero memory, Superman Returns kind of ignored Superman 3 and 4 and went, it's more or less a reboot / sequel to, Superman 2.
But Superman 3 and 4 were not good films.
Right.
Not
so
good
that's,
films at
so
all.
Is that, so. Is, I mean, so when we all collectively agree that they're not good films, is it okay just to ignore
Superman
them?
Superman Returns wasn't that great either, though.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't at all. But
it could have been.
It was almost a great film. I mean, the story really sucked, but there were so many things they did nice about that. I loved the inclusion of Marlon Brando, and I love the old, title treatment. I love the same music, and you know, it was almost there. But see, I'm not a Superman fan. I mean, I loved Superman 1 as a kid.
Yeah.
And Superman 2, of course. Yeah. Oh my god.
Well, a good example though of a successful series that does this is like the Bond series.
Yeah.
Right? Cuz you've got new characters and you've got they don't
But you know, James Bond has never been one that's where you're literally following on the story from the last one. It's they're kind of self-contained.
They're their own stories.
People expect that from Bond.
Yeah.
And sometimes they even take place sort of like the Indiana Jones thing where it's like you don't really know where they go.
Yeah.
Whereas if you have something like the original Superman with Christopher Reeves, it's a timeless movie. You can go back and watch it over and over again. Anything that comes after it is going to be a pale comparison.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Yeah, the Bond is an interesting example, and at someday maybe we don't have time for it today, but I want to talk about other series that could take their lead from Bond, because I think, you know, while I love the continuity, that the sprawling continuity of something like what Marvel is doing, I think that there's a lot more flexibility in telling pocketed one-off stories about popular characters and giving a director an opportunity to put their spin on it and not feeling so bound by what's come before or what's coming after, you know, that you're having to fit into the pocket of that universe. I mean, who wouldn't love to see, you know, as an example, Quentin Tarantino take a Bond movie and do his version of a Bond movie.
Or like the David Lynch doing a Return of the Jedi.
that would have been weird.
Yeah.
And you know, and this is controversial. I definitely would like to talk more about this at some point, but I think that Indiana Jones could be a Bond character.
Let's fight.
I know. People, because we have this reaction to, you know, that's Harrison Ford and that's it. Yeah. But
I'm rolling up my sleeve.
I know. Oh, we won't, there we go. We're not, I don't want to get lost in that sort of.
Do not bring up Lost.
Do not bring Lost. Who said Lost?
Do not.
Did someone say Lost?
I will say real quick before we get off the topic, I think that Indiana Jones is one of the few characters that you could do that. I agree with you.
Okay, so this side, it's this side of the table versus that side of the table.
Oh, it's on.
Before we wrap up, we've got a lot of good television that comes up and disappears. I mentioned this earlier. Almost Human got canceled.
Boo.
It was another intelligent sci-fi series that was just hitting its stride.
Wait, was it a sci-fi series or was it on sci-fi?
It was a science fiction series.
It was science fiction.
On Fox?
Fox.
Okay, because you can't really have a good sci-fi series.
You can't trust Fox
sci-fi.
To carry on behind 12
episodes.
Well,
sci-fi isn't even spelled sci-fi anymore.
I know.
It's I think Battlestar Galactica had its ups and downs, but overall it was a good show.
Oh, no, I'm a fan.
Yeah. No, but
Defiance is good.
Is there any place for intelligent genre network television anymore?
I think ABC is actually providing a pretty good home for some good shows now.
I think there are intelligent shows. I didn't watch Almost Human, although everyone told me I should.
And you ignored them?
So much like I ignore your recommendations.
It's off the air.
I'm actually 5 episodes behind on it, but it was really good.
It was
and
excellent.
I heard it gets even stronger towards
the finale. It catches its stride towards the end.
How many seasons?
It's just
the first
one.
Season.
Oh,
did you guys watch Fringe at all?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. To me, Fringe was very slow kind of in its first season. It didn't really develop its arc towards the end.
It was a little monster of the week the first season.
Yeah. And then they built that arc in the second season. I felt like this was kind of doing the same thing. It was a J.J. Abrams show, and it wasn't really developing its arc till the end of the season. And I think Fox was like, we're not supporting another show that's not bringing in the money. Because they were keeping Fringe by... off the skin of its hairs.
Yeah, skin of its hairs.
The hair of its skin.
The hair of its skinny teeth.
Skinny hairs.
They didn't know they were
getting renewed until like the last episode, so they didn't know.
So do we want to do? We got time left for maybe one more pickleback. Do you want to do one more?
All right.
Oh, sure. Why not?
All right. So here,
I'm really loving these picklebacks.
I'm never one to.
Three, two, one.
See ya.
They're getting better.
Extra dilly.
This is what I imagine my socks to taste like.
So next week we're going to do our summer movie preview, and we're already well into summer movie season at this point. But we're going to preview the next things that are coming out and kind of talk about what's on the slate and what we're excited about. And got a couple other things we want to chat about next week, but that's the main dish. And then anybody got anything going on this week that we want to discuss? Or
I got one thing to plug. Can I plug this real quick?
Absolutely.
Yeah, please go check out the remix that my band did. My band is Idiot Stare, and we did a remix called Matrimonial Blood, or for the track Matrimonial Blood by Hate Department. And Hate Department is selling that on their Bandcamp site for whatever you want to pay for it. The entire album is actually really cool. Also pick up their album, New Ghost. But you can find it at hatedepartment.bandcamp.com, and that's H-A-T-E-D-E-P-T.
Thank you. It's a very, very good track, by the way.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, and also Hayden and I are going to have a booth at Long Beach Comic Expo this coming weekend.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah, booth 4000.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So come.
All right. Well, that wraps up episode 5 of Pod Thingy. We want to thank everyone for tuning in, and we'll be back next week at the same time and same channel. If you want to email us, you want to reach us in any way, send us hate mail, love letters, inappropriate photos.
Recipes.
Wait, John, is it the same sad Drink Batman recipes. Channel?
Same Batman.
Sad Batman channel.
same Batman time. We're at geeksatpodthingy.com, or you can check us out on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/podthingy. We'll see you next time. Signing off. See you guys.
Yay. See ya.
This has been an episode of Pod Thingy. Join us next time for more geekery and nerdisms.